that determination, is that based on interviews, observations, test scores?
All of the above. We send in a trained group of evaluators. And typically what happens when there are noted areas of weakness, the first thing that happens is schools are given the opportunity to address those. They're never just dropped. If they're unable to do that, that's when it leads to dropping their accreditation. But first and foremost, we want to help a school improve. And, you know, each year, unfortunately, there are schools who just don't have the capacity or commitment to making that improvement. Public schools usually have a lot more structure around them to make the necessary changes. I mean, you look at the challenges in Birmingham. Loss of accreditation for them was not acceptable, and they were going to do what they have to do and will continue to do what they have to do, but they have an infrastructure that's a lot bigger and a lot stronger than a private school.
Ultimately, the whole accreditation process and the way your agencies work, is it almost like the U.S. currency? It's sort of based on trust. Everyone agrees that it's worth something, so it's worth something?
That's an interesting comment. I hesitate to say it's as straightforward as that. I mean, accreditation is in other industries, in healthcare. It's a assurance that there is a at least a certain level of quality, and it's different than currency because the value is variable. We're looking for quality that is always increased. So in a currency, a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. But you don't want a school to stay a dollar. You actually want a school to improve over time.
Tell me a little bit about the ramifications of losing accreditation.
It will affect scholarship eligibility. There are a lot of scholarships today that require a recognized accrediting agency. There are colleges, both public and private, that will not accept kids from non-accredited schools. Then there's, for teachers, where your salary would be based on years' experience. They will only count the years' experience if it was in an accredited school. You know, if you're looking to attract businesses, one of the factors they're going to look at is the quality of the school system. Real estate agents, they know which schools are accredited and which are not.
It does seem that there are very real ramifications if accreditation is pulled. I know it doesn't happen very often, but it happens often enough that people have to pay attention. So your various agencies, they are sort of a watchdog. They do sort of pose a credible threat to continued and egregious educational malpractice, we'll call it. Now that high-stakes testing has become more and more and more important over the last 10 years or so, does that different source of accountability sort of take a little bit of heat or responsibility off of advanced ed?
It doesn't. With little or no success, states have applied punitive measures to schools who fail in their high-stakes accountability. We have schools who've been on lists for a state for 10, 12, 15 years with no consequence. And then some states have gone to try to take over schools. And Alabama has had some success where the state will temporarily intervene. So for us, we become the organization that helps schools and systems figure out why they're having low test scores. Because we focus on what are the conditions, processes, and practices, and how do they relate to the results you're getting. High-stakes testing by itself will not improve schools just because a school knows it has low reading scores. What the school doesn't know is why does it have low reading scores? What can it change? How can it change it? And why should it change it? So we are working now even closer with states.
The legislature last time around, they passed the School Intervention Act, which basically lowers the bar for the state education authority to sort of step in and take over struggling districts. I was wondering how you feel about that, and does that sort of take a little bit of responsibility from the shoulders of your organization?
The state intervening sooner can help schools and systems turn around. Sometimes what I think we do is we wait way too long, and by the time the intervention happens, you can't turn it around. Yet they still have to operate because kids are going to show up every day and get off buses and go to that school. So we would welcome the state intervening, but as long as they intervene in a smart way. The challenge for states, and it will be a challenge in Alabama, is the capacity to do it. The state budgets and state governments and state employee staff are far less in number than they were years ago. Now, we work with the state of Alabama as one of our state partners, and by intervening sooner, Alabama will have a better shot at addressing a persistent problem in this country, which is the ability to take low-performing schools and help them ensure student success. The problems in Birmingham were not created overnight. They're not going to be solved overnight. They need a period of stabilization and sustained improvement. So we are committed to helping them through a fairly lengthy trajectory to stabilize the system. And Birmingham, they started to elect school board members only 9 or 10 years ago, which is a relatively still young process for them. And it comes with it a different type of environment and different type of culture. And we're trying to help board members and the superintendent and the community understand how they can build a school system that is effectively governed over time rather than one that is more tied into the political environment.